we have one problem with an ambassador, which you may have to step into, which is Corey. He's just written you a long letter complaining bitterly about his mistreatment by essentially Rogers and us. Second, well, he says he's trying to carry out his orders faithfully, and he's taking a beating as a result of it. Buckley, who was down there to see him, has written us a letter.
I didn't tell him that she could. I give me a look. I've finished something quite important.
I hold no brief for him except that he needs the money and that he has a hell of a lot of information of what we did down there. Bill is furious with him for something he did, for recommending that A be moved out of the State Department, and he's been... But I hold no brief for him except that I think we ought to keep him employed until after the election. Yeah. He just knows too damn much. He's emotionally highly unstable.
I agree with you. I think it's a problem. What the hell are you going to do with him? He's going to start writing his books.
I'd make him an ambassador somewhere.
You mean move him out of there?
Well, he is being moved out of there. That's already decided out of Chile. It's already been announced. That can't be reversed. And that's right. He's an unstable guy. I don't like him particularly. In fact, I don't like him, period.
Yeah. I know.
Let me see whether I can work something out.
What I was trying to say is that it had to relate to your meeting with humanity. You make a comment to the point where first you make a point about the first assault. The second point that you may have either with it or have to consider some of it. What we want to understand is that, we of course want so.
We can do this
also. We will take it with us. We've taken some without it.
I've understood that.
And we've got to not indicate that to him. But the other point is that I think that in terms of the announcement, we're not going to screw around. I want the announcement made early. I don't mean 3 weeks from now. I don't mean 2 weeks from now. That's putting my foot to the sword and finding out when you want to announce it.
Mr. President,
I'm talking about this in another request. All right. Move his timetable up and get it sealed, because you know things can happen between now and that demonstration court, which might change their mind.
I will do that. My judgment is that given the fact that they have these damn meetings every Thursday, that 2 weeks is the earliest they can do it. But I will push for the earliest possible summit announcement, and in less than, in a matter of a week or two. And for all you know,
and the salt thing, be ready to announce it as soon as we can.
That's right. The salt they ought to be able to announce within a week. There's no excuse why we can't do that. And then this summit 2 or 3 days afterwards. It would be if we could write the 50 best if things came in sequence, but they shouldn't be held up for each other.
Go on now. I'm thinking.
Right.
For a while, the road riot, I mean, like the, as you know, it didn't last too long. The China thing was last a couple of days, and it blew up. Now we'll,
I think that China, Oberdorfer had a very good story to tell.
But that's just in one article.
Yeah.
It's not television, it's gone. You see, the point is that you have to realize that that's what really matters in terms of public thing.
Right.
And throughout the television at the present time, there's actually zero in on these people. It'll zero in on the demonstration Saturday, and then they'll try to play it for the next 2 weeks. They're stringing it up. And it's highly unconscionable reporting on the part of television.
So
highly unconscionable. They're just
Well, they want to destroy you, and they want us to lose in Vietnam.
I really think that more, it's more the latter. They destroy me. I think it's they know that they're both the same.
That's right.
But deep down, basically, you want to realize that critics of the war are furious. That when they thought they had it licked, when they threw Johnson out of office, they thought, well, now we've won our point on the war. Now we've come in, and it looks like we're going to. They know what it is. They, despite all the way we put the cosmetics on Henry, they know goddamn well that what our policy is to win the war. And winning the war simply means to stop the non-survive. That's all.
To come out
and win the war.
That's right.
Now, with this in mind, we've got to realize that we're dealing that's your TV people, that's your newspaper people. I mean, despite who one of the guys says that some of my colleagues want you to lose, but we don't. I don't. Was it Severin told you that?
Hubbard.
Maybe he believes that. He doesn't represent the majority. Those guys out there in that press room, 90% of them wants to lose.
No, and now the masks are coming off. Chelan, for example, I mean, or whoever wrote this Washington Post editorial today, they now say we have to give up our interest in the future of the South Vietnamese government. That's the only way we can get out. They wanted to lose. I mean, that's now, they used to have ceasefire and 50 other things.
Yeah. But now they say, when I said that one condition, which I've always said, is that Vietnamization basically, by definition, means a withdrawal. Our policy is not a withdrawal. Our policy is a withdrawal in any way that will let South Vietnam survive. We've always said that. And now, you see, I think it's going to be forced out now, so that they are finally saying that they want, they say we must give up on the right of the South Vietnam. Even the Christian Science Monitoring, which has my editorial as well, that wouldn't be any recrimination in this country because nobody really cares what happened to South Vietnam. They're crazy as hell. They're crazy as hell because afterwards.
That's what the radicals understand. They want to break the government. They want to break confidence in the government. They don't give a damn about Vietnam because as soon as Vietnam is finished, I will guarantee the radicals will be all over us, or all over any government for other things. These tactics of confrontation aren't going to end, and our tremendous national malaise right now, the establishment has the great excuse of Vietnam. No matter what goes wrong, they blame Vietnam.
Well, like those college presidents at the time, you remember, they were really relieved, really, that, as they said, their campuses were politicized. Remember, the poor boys brought scares because of Cambodia, but they were relieved. So you took the heat off of that?
Well, they told you, if you go on national television, don't talk about university problems, talk about international affairs. When you asked, what should I talk about, they said, don't talk about university problems. Talk about international.
And one day when the war is over, then they got to look in the mirror. They don't want to do that, do they?
That's right.
That's the real thing.
And face the real issues. Right. I remember 3 years ago when Harvard first blew up, I told the liberals there that 2 years from now, it will be infinitely worse with all the concessions you've made. You'll need every one of these points. You'll be worse off. Last year when the radicals smashed every window in Harvard Square, one of those professors was honest enough to call me up and say, yes, now I see. Yeah. But it's gone. Now they have big riots at Harvard. They're not reporting them or big to do
it. Are there riots going on now?
Well, they have a tremendous campaign on against professors they consider right-wing. with the slogan, "No free speech for war criminals." In other words, the movement that started as a free speech movement in Berkeley is now a no free speech movement for war criminals, and thereafter, some of my colleagues, Sam Huntington, who would be liberal, but he's honest.
I know who he is.
And they want to force him off the faculty.
Oh, he doesn't go.
No, but the dean of the school of the Kennedy School called me yesterday and said, "We are holding a meeting and we are convincing our faculty to vote for him." I said, "Well, you have to have a meeting to affirm that you're against the no free speech. And why do you have to convince anybody? That ought to be taken for granted."
Who is they when they say no free speech? Or
that's the FCS chant. That's the...
But my God, does that represent the whole school?
No, but it's the 10% of the activists and the others are cowardly. But I think it's the macrocosm of our society, Mr. President. I think the big problem in this country, I feel that as a historian, is going to happen after the war is over. They know the war
even
is over.
Even if we led it right well?
No. No, but that's why they're radicals. The radicals understand what they're doing. You cannot win for two reasons. One, because it's you. You're so anathema.
No. Two, they know that they never will influence me.
And therefore, you don't panic. You're not chance. And secondly, because they think the war is a magnificent opportunity to break the self-confidence of this country
and
of the system. So they use both of it. But they'll be back next year with the war over and they'll find some other issue. These conference, if the war is over next year or whatever it will be, or 2 years from now when it will surely be completely over. And they'll find enough in Vietnam for a good long time because...
And then we will be supporting the new key government with military...
They're already starting that.
Oh, I know. And I know they will. Just like they do in Cambodia.
In fact, I am wondering, Mr. President, if it can't be done this minute, seriously, whether one shouldn't go on the offensive against them, whether one isn't on the wrong wicket, batting back the balls they throw, whether one shouldn't accuse them of turning the things over to the communists. Just don't have the sense that this is a soft country.
I think I am on the offensive as much as I can be.
You have been there.
Yeah.
You have
done. Everything I have said in my speech in that meeting with the editors.
You couldn't do
that. Mine, hell, there's... What more could I...
You can do no more.
I'm thinking.
You can do no more.
Do you think, or should I do more? I can
not right now.
Hard.
Not right now.
I don't think I can and still maintain any... You know, we've got to still maintain basically the Bakers that time.
No.
That's our problem.
No. No.
Some
well, I think back to the campaign, Mr. President. I know you took a lot of flak afterwards, but I think there were two problems as I look back on it now. One, that Agnew started too early. Maybe three problems. Agnew started too early, the economy, and we gave them this nice peg of the October 7th speech to climb off on.
That's right. Well, the October 7th was a massive mistake.
And
the economy, though, was what really went us. If it hadn't been for the economy, on October 7th, we'd have had a landslide. Are we?
That's
our question. I think it's worrying our friends, Henry. Without the economy looking a little better, I hope it continues to, but when Sanderson said it's going to be good for the balance of this year, but not as good as it ought to be, now what the hell are they talking about? Huh?
That's,
don't you agree?
That's a lousy argument.
I'll be right. The other thing about the war, I agree with you that there's 10, there's children, and that's what his question is about, actually. It's over, it's going to be something else.
Oh, they're going to...
I've always said that, you know, and these press people like Mary McRoy's and the rest, say, oh, that's not true. Wait and see. They'll eat them one day, too, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to eat the liberal press people.
Mr. President, you'll survive that for a lot longer than the liberals. The liberals are certainly going to be destroyed. They can't survive.
They never can survive in any society.
No. They will be the clear victims of a revolution here.
We should go on maybe I should go on the offensive harder.
I'd wait a few weeks because we may have some successes.
I don't know. believe there aren't going to be done concessions. I don't mean that. I just mean in terms we just have to play our game out. And as we're playing it out,
no, but
we may have to hit them harder.
But one thing that I think is getting through to these guys now, to these people, is that there may be more to what you're doing. Tom Brayton called me. Well, Tom Brayton called me, and he said he listened to these five Democrats. And he said, you know, he said what they're really saying is they don't care if the communists march into Saigon. It doesn't make any difference. He said, I don't agree with them.
Oh, he doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, good.
No, Tom, well, of course, by the time Mankiewicz gets through with him, he'll agree with them again.
But he doesn't agree with them. That's what they are saying.
That is what they're saying.
The communists march in Saigon. And that's what the war is all about. You can't forget why we went there.
Yeah.
Withdrawal is not a policy, Henry.
I said to him, what I don't understand. I said to him, look, the president has put himself into a position where the war must end, either because our policy is wrong and we'll get defeated next year, or because it is right and we will have made it. Why don't they, if our critics are so convinced, that would be the surest way to get rid of us. But I said, I think they're afraid that we'll succeed. And of course, Braden isn't so bright. But he's a decent guy. Braden himself is decent. Mankiewicz is the dangerous guy there.
Smart.
He's smart and he hates you and he's a Bobby Kennedy type.
I'll put it that way. Oh, this is politics the way it is, but I bet you Conway shut the hell out of him. That little piece in the Washington Post for Conway, I don't know whether he expected that much. He got it. Well, the war won't be an issue next year. It's good for him to say that. The war won't be an issue. He didn't say it's going to be over, he said it's going to be an issue. And he says the economy isn't going to be an issue. That's the way to talk. Talk confidently.
I remember, Mr. President, this is a little worse than last year, but by June 70, we were just holding on. We had to keep putting out little things.
You mean after Cambodia?
After Cambodia. And then by September...
How much worse is this? I don't think it's worse.
No,
last year we had Kent State and Jackson State and that horrible...
No, the demonstrations are easier this year.
The demonstrations, but the attack from the press is worse.
The attack from the press is more ruthless this year.
More political.
And more political. And the Democrats were a little... But still, they were terribly vicious last year.
Oh.
We had the McGovern-Hatfield thing.
Yeah, we had the Cooper Church.
The Cooper Church, I meant, was throughout June.
McGovern-Hatfield was along, right? The same.
McGovern-Hatfield was along. I remember they were bringing pressure on me to resign because they thought this would make McGovern-Hatfield...
McGovern-Hatfield was by the end of last year.
That's right.
They're moving their year up each time. Their deadline now. They're goddamn near to ours, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty close up. Well, I'd be interested to see what the North Vietnamese are going to do. I think if we... As long as you stay in your present posture, I think we may have a chance of breaking it this year. Or getting them to turn it down, and if they do, we'll surface that, because then we don't need anything from them.
Well, what I was going to tell you is that I think when you go over to Paris, that you've got to present it in a way. This time I want it to be done in a way so that everybody, so that with the assumption that we will want to be able to tell Rogers and everybody else that you've gone.
No, I'm going openly.
Openly, that's what I mean. Your meeting's not going to be open.
No.
And then you have your meeting. And we will say nothing about it in the event that anything's going to come out of it. If something does not come out of it, however, then let's say something about it and say, well, I was over there and we knew it, and have in mind the fact that we'll service those portions of it that will serve our interests. And in other words, make an offer. Make an offer.
No. Mr. President.
In other words, try to think in terms of if you get to the point where you're talking to them and they're dancing around, make an offer that is so outlandish, not outlandish in terms of that they really ought to accept it. I removed the date, my government says we've offered this. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And they won't. They're either going to make a deal, or they determine to sit it out. If they're not going to make a deal, then the thing to do is to make an offer that makes them look absolutely intransigent. See? And then with the idea that the purpose is not to get them to accept the offer. We hope to Christ they don't. We know they won't. But that the purpose is to make an offer that is...
But I thought it in the first meeting, I wouldn't give them any date so that it can't fail on that. I'd say, we'll give you a date if you're willing to have a ceasefire and a repatriation of prisoners. So then they can't say we gave them a lousy date. If they accept that in principle, then we can go ahead. If they don't accept it in principle, if they say you've got to overthrow Tewki and Kiantu, then we can give them any date.
Yeah. Then I would simply say, all right, here's our date. This is it. We offer it, and I make it awfully good.
But one thing we might consider, Mr. President, that just occurred to me this week, as long as we're playing it this way,
yeah,
whether, depending if they don't accept it or if they keep it in a bank, if at the end of the meeting I don't tell Xuan Hui to talk to me alone for 5 minutes with just his interpreter present, if I tell him, now look, this president is extremely tough. You've been wrong every time. If you think you're going to defeat him, if you don't accept this, he will stop at nothing and imply that you might do it.
Sure.
Use nuclear weapons.
Do
the dullest
work. You can say, I cannot control it, put it that way.
And imply that you might use nuclear weapons.
Yes, sir. I just want you to know he is not going to take
it. Because if they then charge us with it, I'll deny it.
Oh, sure. Sure. Do it.